No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hailmary. That's hims.com/hailmary for your free online visit. hims.com/hailmary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
3, 2, 1. Hello and happy Sunday morning. Hope you are all doing well out there. We are getting closer and closer to the kickstart of the NFL season. In fact, the first preseason game is just a couple weeks away on July 31st. So I'm continuing to make my way through the divisions. Today we'll be talking about the AFC West. But before we get to that, let's look at some news and notes. It was a big week for a couple of marquee receivers who have completed some legal processes and now are awaiting their final punishment. Rashee Rice, who was involved in a reckless driving incident prior to last season, received 5 years probation, will have to serve a total of 30 days in jail at some point over the next 5 years. That expedites his proceedings. We don't know exactly what the NFL is going to be thinking in terms of punishment. My first leaning was 4 to 6 games. I've seen other people mirroring that. Some think it'll be less, could end up settling around 4. But either way, he's coming back off of a major injury and now likely to miss a good chunk to start the season. If you miss 4 games, that's at least a month, and then that's even slower getting back into the rhythm. I think for Dynasty, it doesn't really impact the value that much, but for redraft, you know, those that were hoping that maybe they would get somebody near wide receiver one range, which is about where his current ADP is, need to think elsewhere. You know, I'm thinking he ends up settling, you know, probably high-end wide receiver 3. Some of that depends. I thought he was always going to be a little bit slower coming back off of a major injury, now with a little more competition. In the meantime, Hollywood Brown could be a sneaky pickup. He's supposed to be coming back healthy. Other guys you could snag, Jalen Royals. There's Juju Smith-Schuster. Obviously, Xavier Worthy proved himself last year, will likely be a big factor in the passing game too. I think Rice will still have a role and will still be an important player once he comes back. Could be a good player down the stretch of the fantasy season, but you have to be a little bit weary of the time he will miss. Another player who adjudicated their issue is Jordan Addison. He had gotten arrested on suspicion of DUI prior to last season. He pled no contest to a little bit of a lesser charge. Now he is awaiting his own punishment. Most NFL experts have said the baseline for that is about 3 games, so that'll be an interesting thing to watch. We had some questions about what the passing volume will be in Minnesota now. They're going to J.J. McCarthy taking over. Sam Darnold is now in Seattle. Either way, Justin Jefferson, the number one target. A lot of questions. You know, if T.J. Hockenson is healthy, fully healthy, that will be very important, especially early in the season. If Addison misses games, they don't have a lot of great wide receiver depth. Jalen Naylor, the number three there. They picked up Ty Felton. They brought in Rondale Moore. One of those guys could get a little uptick in volume, but really for me, with Addison out, it would be just to focus on J.J. McCarthy, the running backs, Jordan Mason and Aaron Jones, and the tight and TJ Hockenson. Well, let's dive in and look at the previews that we are going to go through. And it's interesting, we're talking about the AFC West. Obviously, we talked a little bit there just a minute ago about Rashee Rice, who is facing a little bit of punishment. One of the other receivers in this division, Mike Williams, who had returned to the Los Angeles Chargers, decided to retire on the eve of training camp, so he won't be coming back in. So a lot of interesting moves happening for this division. We will take them in order. Last year's top finisher was the Kansas City Chiefs. They finished as 15-2. Among those departing, Carson Wentz remains unsigned, left as their backup. Wide receivers Justin Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, and Mecole Hardman all left. Running backs Samaje Perine left, and safety Justin Reed. They brought in Gardner Minshew to be their new backup quarterback. They drafted Josh Simmons. They brought in Elijah Mitchell to add to their running back room, and Jalen Moore and Jerry Tillery. Patrick Mahomes was quarterback 11 last year. Kareem Hunt was running back 31, kind of the dominant running back there. Xavier Worthy finished as wide receiver 33. I noted he will be the one to watch, probably their top finisher again this year with Rice coming back from injury and facing a suspension. Travis Kelce was tight end 5. Noah Gray, tight end 2. I think we know at this point in time the offense, still the passing offense, still running through Travis Kelce, maybe not as dominant as he once was and not the top of the tight end pecking order as he once was, but still a worthy tight end 1 candidate. I think Xavier Worthy, I like him in that high-end wide receiver 3. Maybe he can work up to low-end wide receiver 2, but I like him in that range. I think Rice will come back and be dominant later in the season. Rice probably in the wide receiver 3 range for me in this year, just because I think it's going to be a very slow start, but it could be a very hot finish. The real question is Marquise Brown. He was not healthy last year. Can he come back? Can he mix in? I think he has some good value, especially where he's going in drafts right now. The running back room, another piece of a mess. They have a rookie in Breshard Smith that some people are high on. Can Isaiah Pacheco bounce back? It's the last year of his 4-year rookie deal. He broke his leg last year and did not look the same coming back. Some really dreadful performances coming back from injury in the regular season was a complete non-factor in the playoffs. Was that injury related? Is something else going on? That remains to be seen. They brought back Hunt. He was kind of de facto their number one guy. And they have Mitchell, who hasn't played a lot the last couple of years because of the acquisition of Christian McCaffrey and because of injuries. What does he have left? Mitchell is kind of my deep dart throw that I like in that room. But really, I wouldn't want to have to rely on any Chiefs running back week 1 in my fantasy season. The number 2 team last year was the Los Angeles Chargers in their first year under Jim Harbaugh. They finished 11-6. Both of their top running backs are gone. J.K. Dobbins moved on to the Broncos. Gus Edwards, a free agent. Josh Palmer, their wide receiver, left for the Buffalo Bills, as did defensive tackle Joey Bosa. And they lost cornerback Christian Fulton. But don't worry, they reloaded. Najee Harris comes over from the Steelers in the running back room. They also drafted Amarian Hampton out of North Carolina. They picked up Mike Williams, but he has since retired. They drafted Trey Harris at receiver. They brought in tight end Tyler Conklin and tackle Mekhi Becton. They got Dante Jackson at corner, and they picked up an interesting tight end prospect in Ronde Gadsden, the second in the draft. Last year, Justin Herbert was quarterback 12. Harris was running back 20 for the Steelers. Ladd McConkey, as a rookie, really broke out wide receiver 12. Quentin Johnston finished as wide receiver 39, and Tyler Conklin was tight end 18 for the Jets. So what are we expecting here? Well, I think Justin Herbert probably more in line with being a quarterback 2 for me, especially with this rich quarterback field and some of the more high-octane passing offenses. This is still going to be a run-first team. I like Ladd McConkey. I think he broke out last year. He's still their number one. They worked on getting him some help. I like Trey Harris a lot in Dynasty. I still think he ends up settling out as their wide receiver 2 here. It's been a little slow going, getting the contract done, getting him into camp, but I think all that will eventually work out. Quentin Johnston, you know, was once a first-round pick. They had some high hopes for him. He just has struggled with drops and consistency. I think that's why they brought back Mike Williams, but Williams is now retired. So that gives Johnston a little bit of a new lease on life. I just am not putting a lot of stock in that. They have Keandre Lambert-Smith, who they also drafted, an interesting low-end pickup. Darius Davis could be an interesting low-end hang-on. But
no one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You know, tight end, Will Disley's still there, Tyler Conklin in the mix, Rondae Gadsden. It's probably a better NFL room than it is for fantasy. If I was taking a shot on anyone in 2025, I would have Conklin, but I still have him in the tight end two range. He's more of a hold. The week-to-week starter in the passing game for me is Ladd McConkey. I think he's still solid, and Herbert's still a solid super flex starting quarterback. I really like their backfield. Najee Harris has a little bit of an eye injury he's going to be working back from right now, but I think he's still going to be a contributor. Still, it's Omarion Hampton. He is a great dynasty pickup. I've seen him going around pick two or three in almost every rookie draft I've done so far this year, and I've done a lot of them. In redraft, I think running back two is where I have him for this year. He has some upside that could go higher, but I think he's going to end up being the main and dominant back, although Najee Harris is going to have a role. They've called them 1A and 1B. We'll see how that shakes out when you come to November or December. Now, a team that's near and dear to my heart, and that is the Denver Broncos. They finished third last year in the AFC West, 10-7. But hey, you know what? We made the playoffs, and that had not happened since they qualified and won Super Bowl 50. Zach Wilson departed for the Miami Dolphins. Javonte Williams, the number one running back, is now in Dallas. Little Jordan Humphrey, who is with Sean Payton in New Orleans and here in Denver, went to the New York Giants. And Cody Barton, the linebacker, moved on as well. In the draft, they snagged R.J. Harvey to rebuild that running back room. And in free agency, they picked up J.K. Dobbins, who had 1,000 yards, or who was wide running back 24 last year for the Los Angeles Chargers. They also drafted Pat Bryant, a wide receiver out of Illinois, and signed tight end Evan Ingram from the Jaguars. They brought in Dre Greenlaw, Talanoa Hufanga at safety, and drafted Jahdae Barron, just getting that defense better and better. Bo Nix finished as quarterback 7 as a rookie, was a sneaky contender for rookie of the year. J.K. Dobbins, running back 24 for the Los Angeles Chargers. Jaleel McLaughlin still there, was running back 45. Cortland Sutton, a career year wide receiver 15. Marvin Mims, wide receiver 57. Devon Vele, the rookie wide receiver 75 last year. So what are we expecting from this offense? Now, some people think Evan Ingram's going to roll in, be their number one receiver, their best target. Not so fast. That's kind of how I'm feeling in that range right now. I think he will have a role. We'll see. They did not target tight ends a lot last year. In fact, their passing game was a little bit of a mess. They did not add any significant wide receivers in free agency, but they added the rookie Pat Bryant. Last year, we saw the rookie Troy Franklin, the rookie Devon Vele, and Marvin Mims all have 50-plus targets. How is that going to settle out and shake out? I still think Cortland Sutton is their number one option in the passing game. I like him as a wide receiver, too. I think he's going to be their best wide receiver. Evan Ingram, low-end tight end 1, high-end tight end 2. I think he is going to get some volume. Can he stay healthy? How does he integrate into this offense? How does he fit? And do they find some breakouts among their young wide receivers? The one that I'm keeping my eye on the most is Marvin Mims. He actually had fewer targets than Vele or Franklin, but he caught more passes, had more yards, and had more touchdowns. He was much more effective. He really came on at the end of last season. I think he can finally blossom into their true number two wide receiver here in year 3. I think he has some good fantasy upside. The backfield, a similar query. I'm sure J.K. Dobbins is going to have a bigger role at the beginning of the season than I think what he will have at the end of the season. He has consistently struggled to stay healthy as a pro, even missing games last year for the Chargers. And I really like R.J. Harvey. I think they like him. I think they like how he fits. I think the odd man out there could be Jaleel McLaughlin. He had some moments and some flashes last year, but he's not big in the passing game. And while Audric Estime wasn't incredibly impressive, he brings a certain skill set and something different to that backfield. They only kept 3 backs last year. If it's the same this year, I think McLaughlin could be the one on the outside looking in, but we shall see. I still like Bo Nix. I think he's a QB1. We saw it last year, and I think he'll probably take a step forward. It's hard to imagine he'll ever have a worse passing set of weapons situation than he had last year. I think they're going to continue to grow and develop with young players and to add some pieces. I like the Broncos. I like what they're doing. Fourth place team last year was the Las Vegas Raiders. They've changed a lot, including getting new coach in Pete Carroll. They were 4-13 last year in fourth place. Gardner Minshew is gone. Alexander Mattison, the veteran running back, is gone. Veteran tight end Harrison Bryant moved on, as did Nate Hobbs, a corner, and Trevon Moehrig, who is a safety. They brought in Geno Smith from the Seattle Seahawks, reuniting him with Pete Carroll. That was via trade. In the draft, they snagged Ashton Jeanty to be their new running back, and he looks good out of Boise State. They also brought in the veteran Raheem Mostert. They drafted wide receiver Jack Beck in the draft and Deonta Thornton in the draft, and they brought in guard Alex Kappa, linebacker Devin White, and safety Jeremy Chinn. Last year, Geno Smith was quarterback 13 for the Seahawks. Jacoby Myers, their best and most consistent wide receiver, was wide receiver 19, and Brock Bowers as a rookie was tight end 1. This offense for me is all about Jeanty and Bowers. If you have them in dynasty or in redraft, you're feeling good. I think both are going to be top 5 at their position. Jeanty, I don't know. He has maybe a path to get to running back 1, but I think top 5 is more likely. Bowers was tight end 1 last year, probably will be again this year. I really like him a lot. Jacoby Myers, a sneaky pickup. No, I like him as a high-end wide receiver 3, low-end wide receiver 2. I don't know what the rest of their wide receiver room is doing. Jack Beck and Dante Thornton are not bad stashes if you're in dynasty and rookie drafts, but I don't know if I'm making them a priority in redraft right now. I don't know what the passing volume is going to be and the distribution. We know it's going to flow through Bowers. We know Myers is going to get his. Beyond that, you know, Jeanty is a good pass catcher out of the backfield. I think he is going to have a big role. So this is really kind of a narrow funnel. Geno Smith, a solid QB2. I think that was a good addition for them. They extended him. Obviously, they see something to build around there. I think the Raiders will be better than they were last year. I don't think they're still in the playoff mix. So how do I feel about this division in total? Well, you can't write off the Chiefs. They're too talented. They've done it too many times before. Will they win 15 games again? That part feels a little less likely. And I like what Denver's been doing. They maybe were a year ahead in making the playoffs last year, but I think they're going to continue to thrive and strive. I think the Chargers are going to always be a tough out. And I think the Raiders are a tough out. This is a very competitive division. I think we're going to see at least 2 teams from this division make the playoffs. Last year, they had 3. And I think we're going to see all of them hovering at least around 500. Whether they all get above 500, I can't say. I think at least 3 of the 4 will, but I think at least I think everyone in the division wins at least 8 games. I think this is a very tough division, going to be a lot of fun to watch, but I also think they're going to beat up on each other a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if the division winner only has 10 or 11 wins as well. I think that's going to weigh. A lot of these divisions are going to be very competitive, everybody scraping and clawing, and you're going to see a lot of people bunched together kind of toward the middle, not as many really bad teams and not as many really great teams, you know, maybe a couple in each of the leagues. So that'll do it for me today. I hope you enjoyed looking at the AFC West. I'll be back next week looking at the NFC South. We are closing in ever closer to the NFL season, and I hope you will join me on the ride. I'll be here Sunday mornings throughout the season doing my normal, you know, best of the week, sit starts, all that fun stuff. Looking forward to getting back into the NFL. But until next week, I hope you have a wonderful week.
This holiday season, give the gift that everyone actually wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. From USDA-certified very tender filet mignons and perfectly aged ribeyes to juicy burgers and gourmet sides and desserts that make every meal unforgettable, Omaha Steaks brings steakhouse quality flavor straight to your doorstep. Whether you're gifting family across the country or filling your own freezer, every box arrives perfectly packaged and guaranteed to impress. Because nothing says I love you most like a gift of Omaha Steaks. Skip the malls and the guessing. Go to omahasteaks.com right now. That's omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, this deal won't last. Omaha Steaks, delivering joy since 1917. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.